Well, let's have our Bibles open there at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and I'll leave that verse 2 with you again. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Let's bow again, please, in a brief word of intercessory prayer for our own souls as we consider this passage together. O Lord, as we now ascend the great hill of thy word, we pray, Lord, you would give us the ability to climb, to comprehend, and Lord, to ascend to the truths that are contained in scriptures, and thereby, Lord, take us to higher ground. Lord, we want to be as near the presence of God as possible, and we are convinced that the word of God will take us to higher heights. And so, Lord, tonight may the word of God indeed be like Jacob's ladder, which we can ascend. We think in Jacob's ladder, that there the angels ascended and descended, and they were coming again to earth, ascending up the ladder and coming down again to earth to bestow blessings upon men. And Lord, the word of God would be such a ladder to us that we might ascend up into the heavens, obtain blessing, and then come back down to earth, as it were, with our hands being enriched with much wealth, spiritually speaking, from the word of God. So instruct us here tonight. May we benefit from this. Lord, we seek to be cultivated. Lord, we're like ground that needs the plow driven in. Lord, we need to be broke up. We pray, Heavenly Father, that there would be a word in season which would stir us out of our slothfulness and deadness, and that tonight we would be invigorated to go on with God, even in this great work of prayer. So be with us now. Lead us out. Thank you for every soul gathered, and do us good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, if you're familiar with athletics at all, you'll understand how much work and preparation there goes into being an athlete. All the training, all the physical training, all the mental training. When you have an athlete, there's someone who has to train the brain even to do the work of running a race. They need to have the right mental focus. They need to have the appropriate stress levels, not too much stress to break them, but enough stress to drive them. There's plenty of science behind sport. And in our day and age, science is a big part of sport. It's immense. The scientific research and work that goes in to enabling an athlete to shave not seconds but fractions of a second off his pace, his speed, his time, and everything else. And any athlete will fully be aware of how important a good diet is. A good diet's crucial to the athlete's success. If you, or if an athlete, live daily on hamburgers with extra mayonnaise and cheesy chips, he wouldn't be much of an athlete. He would be better at rolling down hills than he would running long straights. So obviously a diet's really important. Failure is probably first seen there if the athlete's giving way in his diet. His athletic career is certain for failure. And the same principle applies to the Christian life and prayer. The success of the Christian life requires a healthy communion with God. That's essential. A healthy communion with God. And like the athlete, the first place where failure begins will be in the place of the diet, giving way to those foods that you want, giving way to the flesh, as it were, to the dainties and the fattening foods. Same in the Christian, it's giving way in the place of prayer to other activities. It may be interests, it may be sleep, it may be whatever. But men and women, when the roots of coldness, begin to get a hold of the Christian, it always starts here in the place of prayer. That's where it begins. And soon the whole man, the whole woman, is cold due to sin setting in. Now, this being the case, I feel it's necessary, therefore, to keep coming back regularly and time again just to the subject of prayer. Just to the subject of prayer and refresh ourselves in what prayer is and what we're required to do and just motivate ourselves to keep a check on how we're doing with our own prayer life publicly and personally. And our text that we've read tonight gives an essential key, a key rule in prayer. Colossians 4 and the verse 2, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. And what I want to do tonight really is leave before you just some instructions on prayer to help you in this work of continuing in prayer. Just some instructions to help you as we continue in the ministry of prayer. And the first one, I suppose, is most obvious, given the text that we have here. Firstly, continually pray. Yeah, I think that's obvious. Continually pray. Men and women, when you're working, pray. When you're traveling, pray. When you're eating, pray. Everything and all times, be in prayer. It's vital, brothers and sisters, to have that time every morning and every evening where we set a dedicated time to prayer. Whatever length of time you can have in the morning and in the evening, that's essential, where you close the eyes to stop all distractions getting in. When you get into a proper posture to pray and you begin to seek the Lord, those times are essential. And I call it there a proper posture because I think the posture that you adopt in prayer is very important. I know if I was to wake up in the morning and sit in my bed, maybe get my duvet around me and the pillows around me and begin to pray, I wouldn't have a hope. I'd be out for the count in 5 minutes. At best, I would fall. I would begin to, my mind would be docile and dozy. At the very worst, I would just completely conk out and go to sleep for another half hour or something. So there's proper postures to adopt in prayer. Kneeling, standing, like Daniel, maybe open the windows and pray, whatever the case may be. Really what I'm just saying here is there's that vital time in the morning and the evening when we bow the knee and close the eye and pray. But your prayer life is not finished then. It's not just a session in the morning and a session in the evening, your prayer is done. No, there is the requirement to be continually in the act of praying, just giving thanks to God all the time for what you see, for what you encounter, for providence, giving thanks to God when you're eating, praying to God continually for his hand of leading in every decision, everything you do, just continually in the spirit, in the attitude of prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be with your knee on the ground and your eyes closed, not at all, but continuing in the spirit of prayer at all times, talking to God all the day. That's not a fairy tale suggestion. That's real. That's real. When you meet people, be praying in your own heart, Lord, give me wisdom. If it pleaseth thee, give me an opportunity. But give me discretion and wisdom to speak well and wisely, and forbid me to sin. And when you're driving on the road, praying for safety and for guidance and wisdom and continually pleading with God for his help every moment of every day. So, first one's obvious. Continually pray. The next one, next point that we're making tonight anyway, is that prayer is a key that opens the Bible. Prayer is a key that opens the Bible. Pray before you read the Scriptures. That's most important. I highly recommend books. I've said this many a time. Read commentaries on the Bible. And whether you read a little of a commentary or a big bit of a commentary isn't the point, but read. Get assistance from other men and read with your Bible. truth and the wisdom of other men. But first and foremost, pray, ask the Lord. You see, there are many very, very good commentators out there who give good thoughts in Scripture, but it's always best to go to the author. Plenty of good commentators, but always best to go to the author. He would open the Scriptures to you, and there's no doubt about it. If you're reading the Word of God, and there's a particular chapter you're reading, and maybe you pray about it for a little brief time even, and you read it again, and the Lord opens it up, there's no blessing like it. It's most encouraging, for there again you're proving God hears even my simple prayer just to understand a particular chapter in the Bible. That's stirring. That's thrilling when you experience God speaking to you in such a way. Remember Peter in Acts there. He was sitting on the rooftop. Chapter 10, wasn't it? He was sitting on the rooftop and the Lord spoke to him. He was in the position and the posture of intercession. He's praying. And God revealed his will to him. What about Daniel? Daniel was also sitting in some location of repose, and while he was there, he was praying that God would open up to him the book of Jeremiah, and the Lord did, and showed Daniel great and marvelous truths that we still study today in the book of Daniel. It's good to pray before you read. Spurgeon put it like this: quarrying God's word, using diligently the hammer of prayer. Quarrying God's word, using diligently the hammer of prayer. Men and women, we might not enjoy great intellect. We're not brainiacs here. But let me tell you, you'll do well enough if you excel in prayer. That's the truth. We may not be highly educated, but you'll do well if you labor in the place of prayer, even when it comes to reading and understanding the Word of God. The third thing is just this, very simple. When we're thinking about the work of prayer and intercession, just pray. Just pray. I think that's a very simple but a very important exhortation to consider. Just pray. You see, we have undoubtedly missed out on many blessings because of our lack of communion with God. That's just the reality. If we were in the habit of continually praying for hours a day, we'll be much wealthier, spiritually speaking. We'll be much closer to God and see perhaps much more benefits. There's no doubt about that. And we can sit and think about that and feel all down, but we'll get nowhere. When it comes to praying, there is no point in wallowing in regret, wishing I would have prayed more years ago, wishing that I would be in a better habit for praying. Rather, get into a good, earnest determination and a solid discipline to pray much more. That will be far more useful than wallowing, getting discouraged and getting down. Determining with a solid discipline, by God's help, from here on in, I will pray. Just pray. There's little benefit, brothers and sisters, in talking about praying and intending to pray and listening to sermons on prayer and reading books on prayer if you don't actually get to the work of prayer. I'll quote Spurgeon again here, for it's a very apt statement he makes there. I'll quote him at length, Spurgeon. Why do not saints go at once to prayer? Why stand beating around the bush? Why not set to work in God's name and do it? In downright earnestness, address yourself to intercession and set your face toward the Lord. Pray for the needs of your church and for special needs of the present time and audience. And all he's doing there is conveying the idea. Why not just pray? Why not just get to it, rather than being disappointed and discouraged and talking about it and wishing for greater things and wishing you were more of a person of prayer in the past? Start praying now. Don't stop. I think sometimes we can over-spiritualize prayer. I don't think the question should ever be asked, should I pray? The Word of God is always clear. Pray. That's what our text says. Continue in prayer. It's not the issue here, should I pray? That's never the question. Even in the prayer meeting, it's not should I pray? It's pray. That's a command of God. To spend time, continue in prayer in all times, especially in prayer meetings. If you're eating, if you're traveling, if you're working, if you're reclining, pray, especially pray in a prayer meeting. That's what they're for. Fourthly, as I talk about praying here, and I mention prayer meetings, this is a very potent point as well. Fourthly, don't pray long. Don't pray long. I want to quote you a brother in the Lord here, and I think this is very helpful. Here's what he said regarding long praying. If you are in the spirit of prayer, do not be long, because other people will not be able to keep a pace with you in such unusual spirituality. And if you're not in the spirit of prayer, do not pray long, because you will weary the listeners. And what he's saying there is, regardless to the circumstances, in public times, don't pray long. That's the gist. I'll quote you another man of God, George Whitefield. Here's what he said about a man who was praying in a prayer meeting. I'm sure you've heard this quote before. He prayed, this is what Whitefield said regarding this man. He prayed me into a good frame of mind. And if he would have stopped there, it would have been well. But he prayed on and prayed me out of it again by continuing to pray. And again, he's making the gist there. It's often been said, and I think Dr. Paisley said it in the past as well, you can pray someone into the Spirit and you can pray them right back out again. And that is so true, men and women. You see, we need to understand the essential nature of a public prayer meeting. A public prayer meeting is very different from the private prayer meeting. You can pray for as long as you want on your own. I encourage you, as I have been already, to pray and pray and continue in prayer. But the nature of a public prayer meeting is that you are leading others in prayer. When you're praying, you're leading others, that others will be praying with you. But if you're praying so long that others are growing weary, then you fail to lead in prayer. They can pray, for they have grown weary of your long praying. And therefore, it's important to remember the nature of the public prayer meeting. It's only a stab. But on a night like this, on a regular midweek prayer meeting, when we come for a time of Bible study, as we're doing right now, then we come for a time of prayer, obviously our time is limited. And therefore, I think it's well and proper that just to put a time on it, to give you a figure, to practically lay this down, certainly 10 minutes is more than enough to have a time of prayer for an individual. There's no question about that. In a public prayer meeting of this fashion, in usual circumstances. In usual circumstances. If unusual circumstances are our experience, where God has evidently come down, you pray for as long as the Lord leads and guides and gives help. Obviously. But when circumstances are usual, remember the nature of the midweek prayer meeting and forget about fancy language and repetition, rhetoric, and just pray intensely and take those moments and get hold upon the throne of God. Leave before the Lord what's upon your heart. A healthy prayer meeting is a lot of people praying, maybe 5 or 10 minutes each, specifically, briefly, pointedly, passionately, believing that God commands them to pray and that God answers prayer. That would be a healthy prayer meeting, a good number, all laying hold briefly, pointedly, and seeking answers for what God has promised in His Word. So I obviously don't want to discourage anybody from praying. That's obvious. What I want to do is cultivate the healthiest nature for a prayer meeting to flourish. You can pray twice. You can pray 3 times. I think it's good to pray pointedly and sharply. And so, maybe you've never prayed in a prayer meeting. Maybe you've never called upon God because you don't think you can pray very long. Well, if that's the case, I hope what I've just said has most encouraged you. I hope it will encourage you to pray. Let me read to you. The only reference is the Bible makes to long praying. Matthew 6, in the verse 7, I can just read only one verse. You don't have to turn to it. You may if you wish. Matthew 6, in the verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And that's God, that's the Lord dealing with public prayer meetings. Also, Matthew 23. Let's go there also. Matthew 23. If you want, you don't have to, but you may. And the verse 14. And it says there again with the subject of lengthy prayer, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. And there's the only references to long praying in public places of prayer that the Lord will be pleased to make. Now, let's go back to our text in Colossians. You'll agree with me here. There is a freshness with rapid and fast and heartfelt, passionate prayer. There's also some of the most encouraging men and women with new voices praying. A new voice. Someone lifting their voice, maybe for the first time or maybe very irregularly. A new voice is most encouraging. And listen, you might stumble over your words and falter and wish you had said more and forgot things and get mixed up in the middle of your words, but no one's going to be too worried. I'll tell you why. Because a new voice is a lovely thing in a prayer meeting. And people will be more encouraged because they've heard a new voice more than they will be concerned about criticizing. That's the reality. You know, you're in your own heart, when you hear a new voice praying in the prayer meeting, praise God, a new person join the choir of prayer, that new voice can be yours. Now we might rejoice with you as the Lord gives you victory. Do not worry about long praying. You can pray certainly for all the time you want at home when there's special prayer times here, special, let's say, a special night of prayer or a special day of prayer. Lengthy prayer is prepared for. We're ready for that. Certainly, men and women, pray to the point and get hold upon the throne of God and keep the prayer meeting lively and livingly as we seek God. And the last thing here is pray for others. Pray for others. Again, let's go back to our text, Colossians 4. And verse number 2 says, continue in prayer. But then go right down to verse number 12. Here we have this man, Epaphras. And you know, he's got a wonderful epitaph here. Here's what's said about this man. That's if you went to your grave and this was the final word said about you. That would be a tremendous testimony. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers. There's a man of God. We're not told here that he's an exceptional preacher. We're not told he's a mighty evangelist. We're not told that he had great wealth and was able to support great causes for Christ and help the poor. No, we're told that he prayed fervently for others. Men and women, we ought to be a blessing in the place where God in providence has placed us. We ought to be an immense blessing to our neighbors and to our families and to our friends in interceding for those around us. You see, if you cannot make any ground in talking to men and women about God, well, then you go to prayer and you take ground going to God about men and women. Let that burn into your heart. If you're not making ground with men and women talking to them about God, well, then you take ground by talking to God about men and women. That's how to do the work. You see, as Christians, as children of God, we are not without weapons for this warfare. If we're not making ground face to face with men, let's pray to God on behalf of men. With that statement in mind, praying for others and maybe having no success as we talk to them, but pray for them anyway, I want you to go to Jeremiah 13, please. Go to Jeremiah 13. In the verse 15. I find that's a very encouraging passage in prayer, Jeremiah 13, the verse 15. Hear ye and give ear. So here's his message, his preaching message. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God. Verse 16. He's beginning to teach these people. Bow humbly the knee. Get rid of your pride. Don't be self-righteous. Verse 16, give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. And he's preaching the gospel to these people. Bow the knee. Don't be self-righteous. Get rid of your pride and bow the knee to God and give glory to him. Then verse 17. But if ye will not hear it, if you will not hear the gospel, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. He's telling them, I'm going to preach to you. Here's the message. If you don't hear, well, I'm going to pray. And I'll pray till my heart bleeds and my eyes weep. God will have mercy upon your soul. Don't grow weary, men and women, in praying for those perhaps to whom you have ministered to for years. Don't grow weary. Look at Jeremiah. Weep on for their souls. And the soul that weeps for men and women will come rejoicing when they see those loved ones brought into the kingdom of God. What I just leave with you here is another quote. It's a man, David Brainerd. He was a mighty missionary, and he's seen a great work done for the Lord. And here's a wee snippet from his diary. David Brainerd, this morning, spent about 2 hours in sacred duties and was enabled more than ordinarily to agonize for immortal souls. I'll read the rest of the quote to you in a moment. But think about that. He calls the people immortal souls. And there's a man, he understands something. I mean, he is praying for men and women who will never go out of existence. The reality of eternity and the eternal destination of souls dwelt heavy upon this man's soul, and that's why he preached and prayed so fervently. And so he says here, this morning spent about 2 hours in sacred duties and was enabled more than ordinarily to agonize for immortal souls. And you might think to yourself, well, that's okay for him. He's a missionary. Plenty of time in his hands. He doesn't have to work. And so he can pray for 2 or 3 hours or 10 hours if he wanted. Well, I'll read the rest of the quote to you. This was his diary. He just wrote this diary for his own benefit, not for other people to read. And he goes on to say, though it was early in the morning and the sun scarcely shone at all, yet my body was quite wet with sweat. And what he's saying there is, he didn't have all day to pray. But he was up before the sun rose, and he had his 2 hours of praying done. There's a man who knew what it was to labor with God in the place of prayer. And I always find those men most inspirational and encouraging, because that must have been a blessing for that man, to wrestle with God at the throne of God. And that man, especially David Brainerd, he prayed and labored for years and years and years. And I think I'm right in saying he did not see a single soul saved until the daybreak came. And he'd been working and laboring for a long, long time. And then God moved. David Brainerd was certainly the most successful winner of souls for Christ because he did labor on. He was a man who had desperate ill health. He regularly records in his diaries about, today I had a fit of vomiting blood, conditions, headaches, pains. He was a man who knew what it was to suffer physically, didn't have good health, but he gave his life to the Lord, and the Lord used him in the place where he was. So let's go back to our text, and we'll just close again as we read that wee verse in Colossians chapter 4. We thought about several things tonight. Continually praying, that prayer is a key to opening the Bible. The method of just praying, the reality of not praying long, and then finally, praying for others. And so let's read that little verse again in Colossians 4 in the verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And then verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always laboring fervently for you in prayers. And I trust that we will just again, evaluate how we are in our prayer life, in our intercession, as we seek to live and serve the Lord.